So I've been working so long on inclusion that I've started to try to figure out, like, what are the real tools that are allowing us as inclusive leaders to move forward and to move the people we work with forward. And I came up with these four tools that don't even sound like tools, but seem to be extremely helpful for leaders who are interested in being inclusive and using that skill to move their teams and organizations forward. And those are the four C's, which are curiosity. The second is around compassion. The third is consciousness. And the fourth is courage. And these are the tools that I think, no matter what situation you're in, if you want to be inclusive, it will help you to actualize or realize this idea of inclusion, especially when difficult things are happening, like we're confronting right now with the coronavirus.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. In the last few weeks, the rapid global spread of COVID-19 has quickly eclipsed other recent epidemics in both size and scope. In addition to the deadly human toll and the disruption to millions of people's lives, the economic damage is already significant and far-reaching. In the face of uncertain challenges and risks, business leaders are rightly concerned about how their companies will be affected and what they have to do next. COVID-19 is impacting people throughout the world, and it's never been a more important time to practice inclusive leadership. Leaders tend to react in various ways when fear, anxiety, and uncertainty reign. Some might ignore or downplay the severity of the pandemic, attempting to move ahead with business as usual to the extent that it's possible. Others might feel stunned by all of the chaos and act in ways that exacerbate the problem. On this episode, Vernay Myers, a diversity and inclusion expert, Harvard-trained lawyer, and founder of the Vernay Myers Company, will share how leaders can lead during this crisis using her four C's of inclusion: curiosity, compassion, consciousness, and courage. In this conversation, we'll discover practical tools for connecting and supporting one another during this difficult time. As the world mobilizes to mitigate the impact of the coronavirus, uncertainty abounds. One thing is clear, however: the COVID-19 outbreak underscores the need for businesses and society to work together, support one another, be resilient and prepared, qualities that all good leaders can foster. This is what inclusive leadership is all about. It enables environments where people from all backgrounds feel respected, safe, a sense of belonging, and they know they can contribute at their highest potential. It's difficult enough to foster this kind of environment when everyone is physically together and adhering to well-established routines. It's even harder when we have to work remotely and practice social distancing. Here Vernay explains, though, why inclusive leadership is needed now more than ever.
So I've been working so long on inclusion that I've started to try to figure out, like, what are the real tools that are allowing us as inclusive leaders to move forward and to move the people we work with forward, because we encounter so many struggles, sometimes resistance, sometimes just life. And I came up with these four tools that don't even sound like tools, but seem to be extremely helpful for leaders who are interested in being inclusive and using that skill to move their teams and organizations forward. And those are the four C's. I call them C forward, to move forward, which are this idea of curiosity, which is one C. The second is around compassion. The third is consciousness. And the fourth is courage. And these are the tools that I think, no matter what situation you're in, if you want to be inclusive, you can follow, and it will help you to actualize or realize this idea of inclusion, no matter what is happening. And especially when difficult things are happening like we're confronting right now with the coronavirus. I do think we need inclusive leaders now more than ever, because inclusive leaders are the type of leaders that are thinking about their people in a holistic way. They're also very conscious of themselves and how they are showing up. And the whole idea is for them to be thoughtful about every way that, for example, with this virus, what are the many ways that people can be made to feel less than, marginalized, not understood? Where might bias show up in the decision making that companies are making or team leaders are making? Are those decisions, if you run them through the lens and the practice of inclusion, what will you discover? So the thing about an inclusive leader is that they're always thinking, how do I create this sense of belonging? How do I make sure that people feel respected? What kinds of processes or practices am I employing that makes it more likely to get the best out of my people? And the converse is true as well. Like, what things am I doing? What am I saying? What jokes am I telling that are signaling to people a lack of respect or creating more scare or freak out? Like, so for example, I only recently was reminded of just language and how it can be really off-putting when it comes to mental health, and how frequently we say things kind of off the cuff, like we'll say, oh, I'm just having PTSD right now, you know, or this is like insane and I'm feeling completely unhinged. And like, we use all these words, but we're not thoughtful about what it would feel like if, in fact, you were a person who was struggling with mental health issues, if you really did have PTSD, or if you really were experiencing some kind of stress that is due to a issue that you know you have, like clinically you have depression or whatever. And so inclusive leaders are thinking, well, I might not be as stressed, but I could have someone on my team who suffers from this situation differently than I do.
During times of crises, people crave certainty. They want to step away from sharing their vulnerabilities, fears, or talking about the unknown. But this is exactly what leaders need to do if they want to support employees. And this starts with creating safe spaces for employees to speak up, and also for leaders to invite people to share their challenges, whether that's working from home with kids or coping with mental health over this crisis. Curiosity is the key to seeing your employees, because when we see one another, we can support one another.
For me, it really comes down to a couple of things that I think inclusive leaders do really well. They stay curious. And I feel like in a situation where there is a lot of scare and anxiety, and when there is especially social distancing, one could be like out of sight, out of mind. The average leader is just thinking about themselves and how this is affecting them, and maybe sort of a prototype of themselves. And they're assuming that everyone feels the same way, has the same situation, and they're making decisions based on that. Or they're engaging in a way that assumes that everybody is similarly situated. But then an inclusive leader is saying, wait, this is my experience, but hey, I'm a leader in the organization. I make really good money. I'm salaried. It might even be I'm single or whatever. And not thinking about people who may be contingent workers or hourly or make less money or has a partner who's in a non-salaried position and are concerned about whether that person is going to be able to continue to work or afford their cost of living and so forth. So you see, it's like really hard to know how everyone is situated. You're never going to know that, but it's like, are you curious? Are you leaning in as a leader to figure those things out? Because once you do get curious, then you start talking differently, You start asking more questions. You start observing more. You know, this person's been quiet in the last couple of VCs that we've had. I wonder if I should have a separate conversation with them to see how they're doing. This is a silly example, maybe, but like I was running out of work just before we were encouraged to work from home. And I got in an Uber and the Uber driver was like, oh, goodness, thank God someone's using transportation. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, my gosh, I was at the airport. No one was there. So I came down here hoping that I could find someone to pick up. And then she was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive. Like, this is how I make the money that pays the bills. And I have to tell you that I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but I was just like, oh, because it was not something that was in my world. Therefore, it almost didn't exist. And so I think that's the thing with leaders. It's like, if you only have the lens on the world that you have, but once you know that, then you try to make opportunities to understand where it might be different from others. The thing is about curiosity, it's not just about others, right? It's about yourself as well. Like, how are you faring? Like, what is your situation? And I feel like sometimes in crisis, some leaders are so stoic because they think that's the right way to be. It's like showing like no issues whatsoever. But I think in situations like this, what an inclusive leader is doing is you're being vulnerable. You're not being overly vulnerable or exposing everything, but you are allowing people to see that you too are affected by the situation and maybe even specifically how you are. Not that you're not going to be able to lead in that situation, but that it's just the things that you're dealing with and considering. And what it does is it gives people the go-ahead to share their vulnerability as well. And that shared vulnerability creates more trust, more communication, and more opportunity to give the team or the organization the feeling that they have that their leaders are with them.
It's not enough to just be curious, because when employees share, leaders need to meet that vulnerability with compassion, empathy, and understanding. Empathy really means being able to understand the needs of others. It doesn't mean you have to agree with how they see things. Rather, being empathetic means that you're willing and able to appreciate what the other person is going through. Here, Vernay shares more on this.
So what's really interesting, I think, is that in addition to being curious, right, then when you get the stories that people are telling you, you have to show some level of compassion. And I think that's one of the reasons why sometimes people aren't as curious, because they're like, I don't know what to do to help this person. Or it's like, I don't know if I have the emotional stability to be with people who are having problems. Like, I don't want to deal with the personal thing. I just want to get out, you know, more tactical, or I don't know what people somehow try to sever the individual human from the work. And it doesn't really work that well. So you kind of have to do both. And so I think compassion is a huge skill for inclusive leaders, because compassion really says that you're willing to step into the shoes of another, to feel what it's like to be them, or to do your best to figure that out. And then to look for ways to alleviate the problem, the stress, the issues that they are dealing with. And of course, I feel that as we are trying to make decisions about who stays home and who doesn't stay home and who's essential and who's not, and whether we're going to proceed as normal with this particular activity or the thing that was planned for the company, like all of that needs to be seen through the eyes of those who are least best situated. Because we were in a discussion and with some of the of my colleagues, and we were like, well, we could do this and just stay with what we normally do just to give a sense of routine. Or we could delay this particular activity. And basically, what we realized is we should go with the people who are most stressed and what would be best for them, and not go with those who could manage to be with the routine as usual. You're like, well, what are other people going to do? right? And often when people make decisions, they make decisions based on what should be instead of looking at those who are really suffering or will suffer more if this decision is made. So the compassion is a way to be thoughtful, not about how you're situated in a particular predicament, but how are those who are most suffering situated, and how do you alleviate that stress to the extent that you can.
A recent study revealed that when leaders are stressed, their anxiety can be felt across the entire organization, often to the point where good employees will walk away from their job to save their own health. The study also found that when leaders fail to manage their stress in a constructive way, more than 50% of their employees perceive their leader as harmful or ineffective. Further, when leaders are unable to manage stress, employees lose their drive to advance within their company. One of the most effective ways to manage stress is being present and conscious of the current situation, rather than fearing the future or dwelling on the past. Being present is the key to managing challenging situations well. Here, Vinay shares how to practice this.
The level of consciousness has to be high, including like things around who you're leaning toward, who you're listening to, who you trust. And a lot of that is impacted by your own sense of comfort, your own sense of who's like you. So this is where we kind of get into the unconscious bias, where you might not even be biased against someone, you're just biased for someone. So you're thinking about, you know, the people who are on the same time zone as you are, but you're not thinking about others who may not be, because you're just looking through whatever is most comfortable for you. Or you're listening to the people who are your peers, but you're not listening to those who you are managing as far as how to address these situations. And yet it's going to take longer than probably any of us would like. And then there's always like getting up to speed. And so you really start asking yourself, wait, am I biased against people who are taking longer, for example, to make an adjustment? Or are there people whose situations I am not, as we talked about, compassionate towards because they're not my people? Or I secretly and unknowingly have a bias against them. So it can go in so many different ways. Either you have biases for people, and so you're leaning towards them. They're the ones you're calling. They're the ones you're listening to on VC, right? Or you could have bias against some folks. And the thing is that if you have bias against a group, it's going to probably be even more highlighted. Or if you have a bias that you don't know about that existed before coronavirus, it's probably only going to deepen in coronavirus unless you are specifically staying conscious of how you might be leaning to your comfort and away from your discomfort, and how you're judging what people feel and how they react. Because the nice thing about being conscious of your bias is that you are checking. And when you're checking, you're asking yourself, am I giving this person the benefit of the doubt? Or am I making up assumptions about who they are? Am I allowing my stereotypes to run my decision making here? And so a lot of it is also slowing down, getting more data, asking more questions. All of that is, I think, essential to stay conscious in this period in time.
Demonstrating leadership courage, whether it's having an uncomfortable conversation, communicating when you don't have all the answers, or making a decision to move ahead on a new project, can be scary. It's precisely the kind of behavior that fosters trust and sets a crucial example for others to follow at a time when they'd probably rather just hunker down and wait for the storm to pass. Here, Vinay shares why courage is the key to inclusive leadership.
So I always feel like courage is sort of a choice for us as leaders. And I think all of us have flirted with the idea of catastrophizing right now. I don't think any one of us hasn't sort of spent at least a few minutes going, and what if it just keeps getting worse, right? Or what if I can't get to my parents and they're sick? Or what if my dad's in a nursing home, and like, what if something happens there? And I'm all the way here in California, you know, like I came here and now I've made this choice and I can't get back to my family. You know, I think all of us have flirted with this, but I think what an inclusive leader does, right, because they're really trying to serve the interest of others, as well as keeping mindful about themselves, is that they push that back, not ignoring it, but they remember to focus on the other truths, because, you know, their truths coexisting, right? We have this virus, we have people who are sick, this thing is happening. Those are real facts, but there are other facts, like we have community and we have respect and we have a company or an organization or a team that does great work and we're all incredible human beings. And we, you know what I'm saying? There are really other positive aspects to focus on. And I think the courage is to decide to go with the things that will keep us moving forward in relationship. Right? Not forward like, oh, we're going to get the work done, da, 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 but more like, how do we stay courageous enough to pay attention to others, like stay curious? How do we stay courageous enough about showing compassion to others? You know, how do we stay courageous enough to look at some of our own biases and to counter them and interrupt them in others? And that's sort of where the courage is. And I think that inclusive leaders are the leaders that are saying, I know this is true, and these things are also true. So let's put our attention there. Because when we do that, we can stay in community. And when we stay in community, even though we're distancing ourselves physically, we can find what is necessary to take care of one another and also make sure that people are treated with dignity and respect.
Lastly, Vinay shares one action that each of us can take to support each other during this difficult time.
My message to employees who, many of whom are like in their own home, some of them quietly and some of them with many other people. One is just be realistic. I think our leaders need to be realistic about their expectations. And I think individual employees need to be realistic with what they can do. And I think for me, it starts with a plan for the day, right? You try to follow what you can follow as a normal routine, but you also allow for flexibility. I think flexibility is really going to be the word of the day for leaders and for employees. Patience with oneself and the others that people live with that are also trying to manage all of this stress and try to get other things done. I would also say get rest, really important to all of us with regard to our physical health, but also our mental health. I would also say find things that are enriching to your life to do. It may be an opportunity for us to discover new things that we hadn't thought about or pick up old ideas, old things we used to do, but we got too busy doing work and we didn't do them anymore. Celebrate what is good, find gratitude in what is good and true, and focus on those things as well. I might also add, when your leaders ask you how you're doing, be honest and also be thoughtful of other colleagues and how they are doing. Reach out, connect, find things to talk about. They don't all have to be about work. They can just be check-ins. And those things help to create connection as well.
I really hope you all found Vinay's advice helpful for how to navigate this difficult time at work and practice the kinds of inclusive leadership behaviors we need to get through this crisis. Before I go, I just want to thank this incredible podcast community. As you know, my book, The Fix, came out and I've been overwhelmed with all the messages and support. I've created a platform with all the content related to the book, which you can find at michellepking.com. You can also connect with me directly on LinkedIn, as I love to hear from all of you. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you all again next week.